You're listening to 105 Today. Cambridge
105. I'm here with Georgie Bullen and Jackie Bullen, who have come in to talk about raising awareness with visual impairment. So I'm going to start with Jackie. As Georgie's mum, when did you first realise that Georgie had difficulties with seeing?
Well, strangely enough, we didn't realise she had difficulties with seeing. We went into a standard optician's appointment, actually for her brother, and I got the optician to look in her eyes as well. And he saw a scar in the back of her eyes. We were referred to hospital, and the initial concern was that she might have a brain tumour. Mm. They found a week later that she had a very, very rare condition. I think she was probably one of 15 children in the world at that time that had the condition. And the big shock was when I said, yes, and, you know, what's the treatment? They said, there is none. Mm. And it was an unknown condition. They didn't know how it would deteriorate. We were told it was in one eye at the time, and she was just five. Mm. At the age of seven, lightning struck the second time, and the second eye went. And from then on, it's been a... It can all be at a sort of standard level, and then she might get a sudden drop. So big shock, and something that, you know, we as a family then had to adapt to.
And how did you adapt to it?
Well, after the initial shock and walking around at 3 a.m. and, you know, trying to take it all in, I think we decided that she had to be treated very much as normal, as, you know, as her brothers. So she went to mainstream school. We were always looking out for things that might help her. And we very much wanted her to do everything that she possibly could. So we didn't make too many sort of care allowances, but, you know, it involved getting a much larger TV. We tried to sort of let her participate in any sport that she wanted to, and very much sort of treat her as normal. And then when she was 14, she was offered the opportunity to take on the talent ID for the Paralympics. So she went along to that. And having been just at a mainstream school and not able to participate too much in mainstream sport because of foot faults and that sort of thing, where she couldn't see the ball, she suddenly... had her life changed considerably.
Wow. Yeah, no, it has been quite a journey, actually. So Georgie, weren't you doing taekwondo or something before this?
Yeah, I am. I did.
Which sounds like quite a dangerous sport for someone who can't see very well.
Yeah, it was. No, I took up taekwondo when I was still at primary school, actually. Stupidly, looking back now, I didn't realise that the kind of coach thought I was particularly talented. I actually, it was me and my older brother, who's 5 years older than me. We went along and we were doing taekwondo every week. And I got moved into the older class with him. Mm. And for some reason, I thought it was just because they decided it would be easier for us to get lifts there and back if we were in the same class. And it wasn't until afterwards, talking to my parents, realised that actually... The coach had really high hopes for me, but I was, you know, maybe 11 facing 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and obviously I was visually impaired, and so I didn't think I was very good at it because I kept just getting punched in the face. Because of that and not facing anyone my own age and feeling, you know, it hurts quite a lot, and I'm definitely not having the same impact on anyone else as they are on my face. I did quit, unfortunately, and you know, I don't know what would have happened if I'd carried that on. But I mean, I always at mainstream school, as my mum said, I always tried to be part of every sport team. You know, what I felt I lacked in eyesight, I made up for in enthusiasm. Yeah. And no one really wants the girl on their hockey team who can't see the ball but goes running towards the crowd with her hockey stick flailing around. They don't really want that on their team. I did always love sport. I just didn't think it loved me back, really.
But it's good, as Jackie said, about you finding and being picked up for the goalball team, and that opened up a whole new world to you.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was only a couple of months after I'd said to my school, could I do GCSE PE? And the PE teacher said, I'm not sure you'd be able to handle it. A couple of months after that, I got the opportunity to go to the Paralympic Talent ID Day. And they weighed me, measured me, and I didn't really think anything had come from it. I didn't feel, you know, that I was that sporty anymore. But the next thing I knew, I got called back, and I thought it was just the next round of testing. But it was actually me training with the GB men's and women's goalball team, you know, thrown in right at the deep end. And I thought they were all mental. You know, they were running around all blindfolded, throwing this heavy ball with bells at it at each other, you know, throwing themselves across the floor to block it from going into their own goal. And I just thought, what is wrong with these people? This is mental. but, you know, once you give something a go and really get into it, you actually just get the adrenaline pumping through you, and it's such an exciting sport.
Yeah.
And it's something that, you know, obviously I've been lucky enough to be quite good at it, I guess.
And you've also been quite a leading role in getting the team, you know, to be able to go to some of the competitions as well. You've raised money, haven't you? And
yeah, I mean, after the Paralympics, because, I mean, in the space of 3.5-4 years, I worked my way up from not knowing the sport to being in the starting lineup that played at the London 2012 Paralympics. And I actually played in the centre role, which is kind of the main defender and so on. So I've been one of the more experienced girls now on the team for a while. And after the Paralympics, we lost all of our funding. And so it was basically, if we want to keep going, we have to raise the money. And so myself and my family put in a huge effort to raise money to get to competitions, you know, leading up to trying to get to the Rio Paralympic qualifiers, which were in South Korea. We raised about £4,000, and this varied from doing local quizzes to doing bucket collections in train stations and all sorts. It was a struggle, but I mean, I know that it made the team kind of even tighter as a unit, because we all weren't just training for the same goal, but we were giving up our very valuable free time. To try and get ourselves to those tournaments and to train and so on and raise that money.
Yeah. And actually, talking about your team, you've bonded quite a lot, and obviously with your similar difficulties, you've found that in general life as well, actually there's not a lot given to people who are visually impaired. So do you want to tell us a little bit about, you set up something called Team Insight?
So when I started at goalball, as I'd been in mainstream schools, I'd never really been around visually impaired people. And so when I started and met all these, you know, this whole community of visually impaired people, really opened my eyes to kind of not only all the great schemes that are out there to help you, like access to work, which will pay for you to have a driver so you can get to work and things like that. But it also opened my eyes to the struggles that are out there for visually impaired people. I mean, I was seeing my teammates, you know, one had got into Cambridge University, she'd got a master's in translation, she'd done an internship at the EU, and yet she couldn't get a job. And after the Paralympics, I was then, you know, joining the statistic of two-thirds of visually impaired and blind people of working age who were unemployed. I mean, that has actually now risen to 73%. So it's awful.
It's shocking.
I mean, finding that out and facing that harsh reality, I decided I wanted to do something about it. And I mean, I love goalball. I've seen the value in it. I see how it brings people together and builds confidence and so on. And I thought, actually, what better way to make employers understand visual impairment than to put them in the shoes of visually impaired and blind people and treat it as a team building day, you know, use goalball as well as other blindfolded activities to get them to not only, you know, great, we're communicating well, we're trusting each other more and all of those kind of aspects, but also, you know, visually impaired people are humans, you know, they might have difficulties and it is difficult being visually impaired, but you know, you can still talk to them, you can still interview them, they're incredibly hard working, all of these kind of things. So yeah, after the Paralympics I combined my skills in a sport that no one's ever heard of with my desire to raise visual impairment awareness and started Team Insight. So, yeah.
Well, talking to you now, you are clearly very intelligent, you're articulate, you've got everything going for you, and yet this one thing seems to be holding you back, which seems utterly nonsense to me. And Jackie, I know you've obviously sort of walked this path with Georgie as well. How have you found it? You know, because you were actually saying earlier that you this new world has been opened up to you as well about how difficult it is to get visually impaired people into meaningful work and, you know, sort of set up for life, really.
I've been absolutely shattered to discover how incredibly difficult it is for visually impaired people to do so much. And you know, the ridiculous challenges that some of them have to endure, you know, even on a job application, they can be outed before they can proceed. Mm. You know, one of the questions, do you drive? Well, if you say, no, I don't drive, you don't get the opportunity for the interview. In fact, access to work would allow most visually impaired people to take on any challenge of that sort. I see the difficulties that so many have in public transport. You know, we've had goal ballers come to stay with us and haven't got off at the right station simply because the train doesn't announce, you know, this is the station if they're not familiar with it. So many visually impaired people have so many challenges to deal with, and many initially can lack confidence, and you can completely understand why. You know, so many of us use visual cues. So, you know, you will look to someone to see, how am I being reacted to? But if you haven't got that, you know, it's you've got a bigger need to
you've got an instant
communicate.
Barrier there, haven't you?
Absolutely,
already,
yeah. You need to communicate far more clearly. I mean, I've been so impressed with what Georgie is now doing, because we need to sort of roll it out, you know, she would need to roll it out far wider to reach sort of more employers, because there's an awful lot available now for visually impaired people in work with technology. You know, some of the barriers that used to exist no longer exist. If an employer does consider someone who's visually impaired, they're probably not going to find that there's too many difficulties in that employment.
Yeah, it seems funny, you know, that this one tiny little thing, you know, when they've got everything else going for them, this one tiny thing seems to be putting a barrier between employer and employee, when yes. actually as I'm hearing clearly from Georgie and from you, what they can give is actually just quite incredible. You know, I see in you absolute determination, and you've the fact that you've gone out and raised money against all the odds actually is just quite incredible. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about the thing that you're doing at the moment, who you're speaking to? And
that's the thing, as you say, once employers give visually impaired people a chance, they can find tremendous talent. And so, you know, we deliver these events that are high impact, rather than, you know, let's watch a slideshow and now you know everything there is to know about visual impairment. You know, people are experiencing it. And we've been really fortunate enough to gain clients such as O2 and Atos and you know, Great Northern Rail. And they've all turned and said, you know, we want to make an effort to know more about a hidden disability that the general public don't know that much about. And it's amazing, actually, some of the people who are getting on board. And we hope this, you know, continues, because it is fantastic to just feel that they want to make that effort.
Yeah.
I completely understand that a lot of people don't know much about eyesight loss and things like that. And I guess it's more that people are afraid of the awkwardness and afraid of saying or doing the wrong thing. But you shouldn't let fear hold you back. You know, just because you don't know, you know, if someone comes in who's visually impaired and you're like, oh, do I go to shake their hand, or just address the elephant in the room? You know, what assistance do you need? You know, I'll nice to meet you, I'll shake your hand. Just announce things like that. And I think it's really important that we continue the momentum that we've got of working with, you know, these really well-known organisations. And I mean, we've been fortunate again to get the endorsement of the RNIB, because they recognise that it is an innovative way of delivering VI awareness to a really important group. Getting a job for a visually impaired person, if you're able-bodied and you're unemployed, you know, that can be depressing enough, and it really can demotivate and all those kind of things. But if you're also visually impaired, it's incredibly isolating. Yeah. And it's not just, yes, get a job, that's great. It's the self-worth that people feel and the confidence they gain. And it really is a life changer. Most of the time, it's people being afraid of the awkwardness. Mm. And we really face that full on and try to address it and treat it a bit like the last leg, you know. Yeah. Is it okay? Yeah. Ask us any questions. Yeah. Go for it. It's your chance to do that. And people respond really well to it.
Yeah. So. It's funny what you were saying, because Jackie, you mentioned earlier about the fact that if you can see, you take for granted so much the visual indicators that you have in day-to-day life. As you said, the way someone reacts to you, or like you say, holding out a hand to shake it. Well, if you can't see it, how do you know that it's there? And that can create an awkwardness. It's just so encouraging to hear that you're getting the word out there and all these people coming on board as well. Where can people go to find out more information about what you're doing?
We've got a great website, which is www.team-insight.co.uk. And that kind of shows videos, gives loads of information. And we've even got, very luckily, some referees in organisations like O2. So they've often insisted that if anyone, you know, is interested in potentially working with us and they want to speak to someone who isn't me saying how brilliant we are, that they can talk to them who, you know, they've worked with us before and are independent and do love Team Insight. Mm. So, the website's probably the best point of call. But we've also got, you know, Twitter, which is at Team Insight LTD, and so there's lots of different places online
to get through. Brilliant. Is there anything else you want to sort of bring people's awareness to?
I mean, I think it's just a case of don't be afraid of the differences between people. You know, yes, people have different disabilities and abilities and so on, but actually underneath we're all human. If you see someone who's struggling with something, don't be afraid to just go over and say, do you need a hand? You know, they'll probably say, no, I'm absolutely fine, cheers. But it makes such a difference just to face things head on and be open with everyone.
And I would add that the word hidden disability, visual impairment can be very much a hidden disability. If you look at Georgie, you wouldn't know she's visually impaired. And so very often, you know, it tends to be a perception in the general public that all disabilities are obvious.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you need to make an allowance where it isn't obvious.
Yeah.
And so I would say that that's probably worth addressing. And I would also like to reiterate very much what Georgie said about just having the confidence to address the issue. I've had to learn through Georgie. I now, if I'm with visually impaired people, I will say, do you need an arm? And if they say no, that's fine. But it's better to ask than to awkwardly shy away thinking they haven't noticed me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you so much, Jackie and Georgie, for coming in and telling us more about raising awareness for visually impaired people.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.